Someone that I've really, really enjoyed getting to know, and that is Phil Dixon. He's a wonderful author, wonderful historian, knows so much about the Negro Leagues, Negro League Baseball Museum, a good friend of Bob Kendrick as well. His book, Dizzy and Daffy Dean's Barnstorming Tour, Race, Media, and the American National Pastime, has been a huge success. Phil, I'm very happy to have you on today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How about you, Marty?
Very good. We're just trying to get through this thing and, you know, use our weapons that we have at our disposal and just try to be smart. That's the best way I can explain it.
All right. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, as I mentioned on the show today, we honor Larry Doby, Satchel Paige today. It's the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues. Bob Kendrick up at the museum has had a great program of tipping your cap to the Negro Leagues. It's been hugely successful. But I'm glad to have you on today to talk a little bit about Larry Doby and give people the information, the background of why he is so special in American social history and baseball history. Just a 22-year-old thrust into an almost impossible situation in Cleveland, July 5th, 1947.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, boy, this is real timely because not only Larry Doby, of course, he was signed July the 2nd, 1947. And then, I don't know if you knew, July the 8th of 1948, Satchel Paige was signed by the same Cleveland Indians. So this little period, this little window right here, you know, has some prominence, especially to the story of African-American baseball and Major League Baseball. But yeah, Doby, a great individual, and, you know, he played in the shadow of Jackie Robinson. And so for years, you know, you would hear about Jackie Robinson, but, you know, you didn't hear about Larry Doby, who actually had a longer career and was a very prolific player and hit with power, started off as an infielder. I think he ended up playing outfield more, but he came out of the Negro Leagues as an infielder. And he was just a great player, and like I said, he played so much in the shadow of Jackie Robinson that, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, we knew about Jackie, and the only thing I knew about Larry Doby was he was just a coach, didn't know much more. But I'm glad we do now.
Yeah, because Larry Doby, Phil Dixon with us, Larry Doby, 22 years old, he was a great high school athlete from New Jersey and grew up in the South as well. But mainly in New Jersey is where he played. So 22 years old. Now think about this. 22. He's not 30. He's not UCLA. He's not been in the Army and, you know, that kind of stuff. And next thing you know, he's in Cleveland. And the Cleveland clubhouse didn't want him. You know, they went around and introduced him in the clubhouse. He's just a kid. He's just 22. And people turned their back on him. He was with the team for most of 47. He's a second baseman. Joe Gordon was the second baseman, so he wasn't going to play there. They put him a little bit at first base, but Eddie Robinson couldn't stand him because Eddie Robinson was the first baseman. So in 1948, they made him a center fielder, and the next thing you knew, they won the World Series as a center fielder. They didn't stick him in a corner. He wasn't a utility player. He was the center fielder for the world champion Cleveland Indians the next year. And he didn't have the background that Jackie had, and he still had to persevere through it, and that's why I think he's such an important story.
Yeah, 1948, you know, he got 29 votes for the MVP of the league, so American League. So he had a great season. And, you know, he goes on, and it continues. In 1952, I think he led the American League in home runs with 32, and then came back and did the same thing at 54. This is a great player. This is a great player and someone that needs to be revered more than what we've been giving him. You know, also, too, I think one of the things that kind of helped Doby, of course, he played for the Newark Eagles, but he grew up in Paterson, New Jersey. And you know, when I wrote my Dizzy Dean book, the Deans played a game there in 1934. And so Paterson with Hinchcliffe Stadium was a good baseball town. And, of course, it was close enough to New York where, you know, they had the teams that were coming out of New York that were playing there. So they could see good baseball. Larry Doby grew up in that. And I'm pretty sure he had played, you know, against other white athletes prior to him getting to Let me put it this way, because a lot of people may not realize, because that doesn't happen that much now. But yeah, he never spent a day in the minor league. He came from 22 years old. He came straight to the Cleveland Indians.
Mm. Well, I'm glad that we could acknowledge it. And we do it every year, July 5th, whether I'm on the weekend, so wherever it fits, we definitely acknowledge it. And I think it's an important part of history. Now, let's turn our attention to the old man, and that's Satchel Paige. And you know a lot about him because you wrote the book about the Dizzy Dean tour and Paige and what he meant to baseball in the 20s and 30s. But for Satchel Paige, 42 years old, signed by the Indians on his birthday, he makes his debut on his birthday, and becomes part of Major League Baseball at 42 on a team that ends up in a playoff with the Red Sox. And, you know, Lou Boudreau goes crazy in the playoff game and has a great game. Next thing you know, here's Satchel Paige in a World Series. How about that?
That is very true. You know, what's interesting is, it seems like I've seen the document, the Monarchs sold Satchel Paige to Cleveland for $7,500. And the story goes that Bill Veeck told Lou Boudreau that he was going to show him his new secret weapon to win the pennant. And he brings out 42-year-old Satchel Paige, and that about knocked old Lou Boudreau off his seat there. You know, I might mention, years ago, we did a dedication. We built a monument where Satchel Paige is buried, and Lou Boudreau was, you know, there that day that we did the dedication. So I had a chance to talk to Lou. So that's it. Boy, this is great history. Satchel Paige, tremendous pitcher. Once again, I think is, let me put it this way. I don't think there will never be ever another Satchel Paige who did the baseball history, pitched in as many places, did all these unique things quite the way he did it. I don't think there will never be a person, another person alive who will have that kind of history.
No, I agree. You know, all over the world. And, you know, as I said, you've researched it quite a bit. Let's talk about the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues being celebrated last weekend. And Bob Kendrick, of course, the president of the museum, came up with a tip your cap. That was very successful.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We've been celebrating that all year long. Of course, you know, the pandemic got into the Negro Leagues activities. I know with me, it got a lot of my activities canceled. So we started sitting around, and I know, like, I unveiled a Negro League mask. I ended up launching a website, but the Negro Leagues Museum, all of their events are gone. But I think when they got this tip your cap, man, it just took off like you wouldn't believe. I've been interviewing with CBS Network this weekend. I think they're doing something tomorrow on the CBS Morning Show about it too. So it's brought a lot of attention back to the Negro League Museum and back to the 100th anniversary that seemingly got lost in all the pandemic. So it was a clever move, and it's been a great strategy. And man, more people know about that than I could ever imagine. So
wonderful.
So it's been great. It's been great. And so and it's going to continue on. I don't know for how long, but people are still saluting and tipping their hats and all over the country. And you got Major League Baseball, and of course, Major League Baseball is coming back. So starts with I think what we got July the 25th,
23rd will be Yankees and. Nationals, I think, and then followed by Giants Dodgers on national TV on the 23rd. I think it's Garrett Cole and Scherzer, and then let's see, how about Kershaw and Cueto? I think that would probably be the second game.
It's going to be a great day for baseball again. And so I was beginning to wonder if we were going to get any baseball, but hey, I'm excited. You know, my Dizzy Dean book came out last August, and I was hoping to get all of this baseball season, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I'll get a piece of baseball season again this year. So hopefully in 2021, I'll be able to promote the Dizzy Dean book because it's doing very well. It's also.
Yeah, you've been all over the country with that one. So, and of course, we have it up here at the Book Tree in Montclair. David's got it up there. Phil, a pleasure having you on, and I thank you. And be well and safe. And you are a wonderful author, historian, and I'm very glad to be able to bring these stories to light. I think it's part of America. We have to know it and have to understand who the folks were who made things happen.
Right.
And Dobie and Page were two of the keys, so I'm glad we could do this today.
Absolutely, and thank you for keeping their history alive.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Take care of yourself.
All right. Hey, you have a nice day. Have a good 4th of July.
Yes, be safe. All right. That is Phil Dixon. More coming up. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.